Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. Pleasure to have you with us today. It's 11 a.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center, and this is part one of a two-part exclusive series spotlighting James A. Morrell of JAM Consulting Group. Now, if someone has asked you, what do you get paid to do? Most people would list their responsibilities and the tasks associated with meeting those responsibilities, but that's not really what you necessarily get paid for. The problem is that leaders have it that, you know, the meeting is all about them and their product, and that's what's really interesting about the conversation we're going to have right now. Ultimately, you know, we are paid for our critical thinking skills and the sound judgment we exhibit in our decision-making. If leaders are not self-aware of the factors that contribute to or inhibit critical thinking, they can't lead themselves, let alone. This is where our very special guest comes into play. James Morrell is the founder and CEO of JAM Consulting Group, specializing in sales and leadership effectiveness and enhanced performance. JAM's focus is to develop customized training programs to help C-suite executives, leaders, and their teams become better, more impactful versions of themselves. The problem is, again, as I said earlier, that these leaders, you know, think that the meeting is about them and they're not you anymore. It's about your employees. It's about your clients. It's about your prospects. JAM Consulting bases all its coaching leadership development programs on behavioral science principles. If he tells you something before you ask something, raises your level of skepticism, which means a delay in judgment or action, according to James. If he asks you before he tells you, ideas can be exchanged. You have to gain the alignment of your group. That's essential. They will never open up to new ideas unless they know that, you know, they're being heard and understood, valued, appreciated. They need to be able to take ownership of ideas. Leaders, salespeople, and professionals from various industries choose to work with JAM because of their ability to set a collaborative tone. James says their clients like working with them because they appreciate candid feedback. The truth is critical to development. And exciting news, JAM Consulting Group is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Congratulations to the team on a job well done. Let's welcome James live and direct this exclusive two-part series together right here on Close Up Radio. James, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jim. A pleasure to be here.
About even before we get into what JAM Consulting Group does, let's talk a little bit about some of your life's journey, some of your inspiration, some of the things that pointed you in the direction of wanting to do this kind of work, inspiring others in the way that you do.
Well, interestingly enough, way back in my prior life, Jim was a football coach and teacher and taught at a couple of universities, and so I had a passion for teaching, and I guess the closest it could come to that would be consulting. And I spent some time in coaching, and then ultimately ended up my first job in the financial services industry was First National Bank of Chicago, and in sales and underwriting of municipal bonds and things of that nature. So I was in the field, knew nothing about banking at that point in time. But it was just like, okay, after several years in banking, began to realize that, it was more about the client than it need than, but it wasn't being happening. It wasn't happening that way. Excuse me. It was always about the product presentation, broadcasting, this, that, and the other, and very little to do with the client. So when I retired from banking and started JAM Consulting 25 years ago, actually, as you mentioned, this past July, the approach was different. In fact, I have to tell you, just we just had a Zoom call yesterday with a client that we're on retainer with, and it's our first meeting with them. And one of the fellows was telling a portfolio manager was talking about some of the challenges he has in meeting with new prospects and clients. And he says, you know, I get in the middle of my presentation and they interrupt me with a question and it throws me off and I can't get back on track. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, there's the problem right there. The individual thinks it's about himself and his product and not about the client. So that's an easy, you know, fix. And so it's sort of like changing the mindset. And I mentioned to him, I said, well, you know, your product really needs to be relevant. Would you agree? He said, yeah. I said, well, then let the client tell you what's relevant to him or her and then go in that direction. Certainly you have the expertise and the competency to switch lanes and go in a different direction if need be. He's, oh, yeah. You know, just a simple fix. It's like, oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking quite that way. So, yeah, that's that started me into this business. And that's the way we approach everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's a sort of like a full circle situation for you, which is amazing. let's talk about the consulting group and some of the work that you do in the group.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, our focus is on leadership and sales effectiveness. And, I mean, every organization has a leader or someone at the top that they're dependent upon, and they sell some product that they produce or direct. And so our focus is, you know, sort of a rifle shot down on that. Well, we've learned a lot about leadership in doing this. And the research that we've done is in that area has been very helpful. We collaborated and partnered up with Morrison Associates out of Palatine, Illinois, and they're a team of psychiatrists and behavioral psychologists that I met back in some time ago when I was in the banking business. And this is about 87 in that environment, and the markets failed, and I had trading managers. I was director of global trading for a money center bank at the time, and I had an individual who was my trading manager, young fellow, really, really smart guy, that had a nervous breakdown, a bona fide nervous breakdown. I was like, oh, my goodness. So I went to HR, and I said, we need some help here, or I need some help, because if the stress is on him, it's affecting others the same way. And they said, we have just develop for you. And they had a partnership or relationship with Morrison Associates in Palatine. And the next day, the psychiatrist shows up at my office, and there started a relationship that still exists today. And we work actively with them for research, leadership, and guidance. But it's all about this leadership thing. And self-awareness, as you mentioned at the outset, yeah, that's our saying, is that, you know, there are a couple challenges with leaders. One is the mental, or I would say the emotional intelligence, and that's how you impact others and influence others. The second is your personal attributes that either promote your effectiveness or hinder your effectiveness as a leader. And we use that, and that's part of our focus. The other is on sales effectiveness. And the reason we focus in those areas is because when you mentioned JAM Consulting, JAM Consulting is really a makeup of terrific managing partners that I've been able to assemble over the years. And I have three managing partners and a senior consultant on the team. And each of those have field experience, in the field experience in sales and leadership. And they comprise it and really underscore the effectiveness of our organization. And they buy into it. They understand leadership. They understand the importance of it. And so we start with this self-awareness thing where we've said it, and you said it at the outset. Our thinking is self-awareness is the starting point of these leaders. If they don't know themselves, Jim, it's pretty hard for them to even lead themselves, let alone lead a team or an organization. So that's always our starting point when we do our consulting.
So your clients, too, who you value greatly, what do your clients say that they like about working with you, some of your methodology, your technique, your approach that stands out?
Well, that's a great question, and therein lies whether it works or not. I think to answer the question, first understand that our overarching goal, Jim, is to be seen as a partner, not as a vendor. And that really just says simply that as a partner, there's a long-term relationship that we're looking for. The advantage there is that we can provide multiple services for them, and we have access to their organization and their people. The vendor tends to be just sort of a one and done. So our overarching goal is to be seen as, you know, as a partner. And the I guess because of that, our approach is what they like best. It's collaborative. The tendency here is we ask before we tell. We never tell them anything early on. We come in and ask before tell, a basic principle of behavioral science. And it does, in fact, include them. And they get the feeling of a partnership as we work through these problems. We're hoping that they can help self-discover some of the issues or the gaps that are causing the performance issues that they're looking for, of effectiveness or whatever it might be. So they really like the approach we take. The other part is the, you know, the truth talk, so to speak, is the tell end of it. It's, you know, we ask early and we tell later on kind of thing. But when we get to the tell, it has to be candid. They like that. And when I first started this, in my first client, they came to me and I said, I had no clue what I was doing at the time. And I'm just starting this thing. And they said, hey, we have a training program that we're going to conduct. It's a week-long program, and we'd like you to come out, sit at the back of the room, and critique it for us. And I said, well, sure, fine. I'll be happy to do that. Well, they marched through in this training program a variety of vendors. And it was interesting, Jim, from the standpoint of these were financial folks, portfolio managers, wholesalers, salespeople, leaders, salesmen, sales management, leadership, and so forth. And these vendors were not in the industry. And so their examples were, well, when you sell a widget, instead of when you sell a 30-year treasury bond, this is what it looks like kind of thing. And at the end of the week, they came to me and they said, so what do you think? And they were all excited and they thought, oh, goodness, this is going to be, you know, I'm going to pump them up and all that. And I thought to myself, that was the first time, first client, the truth talk. And I thought, here it is, Jim. Are you going to tell them the truth or are you going to sugarcoat this thing? And I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to do this right, I need to tell them the truth. Now, we found ways to be less things. But I said, my answer was, I think it's terrible. They were like, what? I said, yeah, it's terrible. And I said, there's some suggestions that I could make. Well, they said, okay, why don't we retain you to help us develop a true training program? I said, we can do that. And they said, well, we'll have our people talk to your people. And I said, well, that's easy because I'm the only people at the time. So we shook hands over the hood of my car in the parking lot at this location. And that was our first client. That was 25 years ago in July. They are still our lead client today. So the relationship, the approach, the truth talk, we found they liked that. The third thing that they liked most is that we get away from the theory pretty quick and get into the practice. and they like the pragmatic, easy-to-use tools in the field and how to use them. And so they appreciate that. So those are the three things. They like the collaborative approach and the partnering that we do. They like the fact that they can trust that we're going to be candid and give them the truth. And we kind of position it now, and as I tell them, I said, well, look, when we start this thing, I'm going to have to give you some hard truths, but see it as a bridge to improvement, nothing more. It's negative or positive. It's just a bridge to improvement. And then the third, of course, is the pragmatic use of the tools, best practices in the field. They love that. So that's what they tell us. And that's sort of our guide, the way we approach all our clients.
That's a great approach, too. You know, the world is always spinning, and there's always a lot of different things that come our way, especially as we learned over the last 2 years with pandemics and economic losses and just a lot of different societal changes, everything coming at people at once. And sometimes it's a whirlwind. It can seem very overwhelming for people when you add these things into just everyday life. What are some of the challenges that your clients not just face ordinarily or traditionally or generically, but they are really facing today?
Well, great question. And that, I mean, the answer to that is twofold. There's an immediate, Jim, that I see there's an immediate challenge, and you've described the causes of that, the pandemic, the environment that caused the recession that started and ended very quickly, but still in fall. That's the immediate. The other is more long-term challenge. The immediate challenge, because of this business environment that we're seeing, what we learn in the field is that it's caused this. There's some advantages. Let me back up. There's some advantages to what's happened, of course, but there are some disadvantages also. Virtual client and team meetings versus face meetings. Automation instead of personal contact. Both of those have their advantages. Convenience, it's easier on the budget, folks don't have to get out in the field, things of that nature, scheduling and things of all that, those are great advantages. The disadvantage that we see that's immediate, it's diluted relationships with clients and connections with clients and prospects and team members, as a matter of fact. The lack of structure. I had a trading manager or a sales manager that manages a wholesaler internal desk. So I've got a bunch of 20-somethings that prior to the pandemic, getting them to show up on work at work on time was always a challenge. And now they're at home, and I have no idea what's going on. So structure is a problem there. So that's an immediate problem to address that. How do you address that? The long-term problem is with our leaders, I think, because of the constant change in the environment, and that is to stay in front of the environment or at least anticipate the changes, business changes, is not easy to do. And so judgments and critical thinking for leaders in this change environment need to be closer to correct and less dependent on luck, to say it clearly. And I know because we've done research on this, and we've learned from other sources as well. Research tells us that a leader's reputation is an example, Jim, for fair and unbiased judgment that benefits everyone or most everyone, directly influences the extent to which a team or an organization or individuals accept their ideas, follow their leads, and support their positions. So we see that as a long-term challenge for our clients. And why would that matter? If you're making bad decisions on initiatives and ideas, and we get this directly from the field, what you have is passive alignment in support of those ideas. And the risk there is you could take a high-performing team, and with passive alignment, they're suddenly just a mediocre performing team. So I see those as the two challenges, immediate and long-term. Immediate being simply dilution, the relationships are diluted, the connections are more difficult with clients and prospects and with team members as well, although they have their advantages. And I see that that's something that needs to be addressed, because I don't think that as we come out of this pandemic that all of that business environment and that stay at home is not going to change drastically. I think folks are going to start coming into the office 2 days a week, 3 days a week. We had a client I was telling you about yesterday, and they alternate their staffing 3 days a week for half, 2 days, 3 days a week in the office for half, 2 days a week to the others, and then they flip-flop. So they clearly have adapted to that. Those are the challenges that we see.
And again, it's the parts are interchanging, always moving, and having that adaptability, that flexibility, and being able to pivot and move along with the changes that are happening is an essential part, definitely, of all of this. And this is part of the shift that leaders need to make as well, right, James? And no one tells them what it means to work through people. That's all dependent on how you show up, how you present yourself, how you listen to people, and how you value people, all essentials.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the reason that our starting point is to understand the personal attributes that either promote or hinder your ability to do that. I was at a conference about a year ago, and it was down at Rice University, and it was for all their MBA graduates and all that, and they're just bright, really bright young people, and sort of with a bent towards entrepreneurial theme. And one of the attendees asked me a question, and I thought it was just a great question. She said to me, she said, "Well, Jim, if you had a do-over with JAM Consulting, what would you change?" And I thought, that's a heck of a good question.
Yeah.
And, I thought, great question. I gave her credit for that. I said, that's a great question. Let me tell you something. I said, when I started this company, which I later found out by going through this assessment of what attributes I had that are strong and saboteurs and all that sort of thing, I said, I was so self-reliant. That's the good news. If you're an entrepreneur, you need to be self-reliant and confident in what you're doing. That's the good news. The bad news is I was excessively self-reliant. And so what happened was I didn't have a team. I didn't depend on a team. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, how to do it, and no one could tell me anything else. But what came out of that was one idea, and that was my idea. I said, I wasted 6 months when I started this company up of floundering around with one idea and no team to support or contest the ideas or provide other thoughts. And I said, I wasted a lot of time, effort, and money those 6 months. And then I became aware of some of the personal attributes I had, which made me feel good. But the saboteurs, and the saboteur that I had was this excessively self-reliant approach that I took. So that's a good example, Jim, of self-awareness that we're talking about and why we start there. That research on those attributes came from the Morrison Associates that I had a long relationship with, and we've developed that program now. As a matter of fact, it's being widely used at the Kellogg School, Northwestern University, and other places. So that's a good example of self-awareness. And I thought to myself, if I had been aware of that from the start, I wouldn't have wasted those 6 months and all of that money and time. So that's an example of that.
What a great example that is, too. It's so relatable. Most people don't get a chance to share the dialogue about things they're struggling with or the things, around them at work. It's going to be lonely for people, especially for leaders, right, James?
Exactly right. And you wonder, who do they go to talk about this thing? Well, we're giving them one outlet, and that's GM Consulting, because that's where we start. That's our approach to things. And, you know, the idea, if you're going to change someone's thinking or at least create a new line of thinking, you need to have the dialogue, meaningful dialogue in front of it. And when you ask versus tell, as you mentioned at the outset, the behavioral science principle there is just like, you know, behavioral science 101. When you ask, you minimize the skepticism. When you tell, you increase the skepticism. So the idea here is pretty simple. Ask first. Give them an outlet to talk. The second principle then can be applied, and that is be heard and understood. Once an individual, and we believe in this and we do research on this as well, once an individual knows that they have been heard by you and understood, it would be something like, well, based on what you're telling me, I'm sensing that your current situation is X, the challenges you're facing is Y, and your ideas as to how to implement is Z. Is that fair to say? Yes, it is. Well, I have an idea that you might find helpful based on that. Give me a minute to explain, and I'm curious as to what your opinion might be. That gives you the opportunity to have that dialogue be meaningful. And by the way, when you do it that way, and this came up again yesterday with a client, you get away from broadcasting and you get into a meaningful dialogue, because, you know, you're including the client. It's about them. It's not about you. And that has a tendency, behavioral science will tell you this, to open the mind to new thinking, because they can trust that you understand their situation or predicament. And leaders, you know, are always in that position. How do I do this thing? Who do I talk to about it? So, I would say you're right. Leaders don't have that outlet, and that's why we always start at that point.
Very important. I like the way you approach all of this, and your mindset is so spot on with this. We only have a minute or so left before we wrap. I do want to let the audience know that we're scratching the surface on this fantastic topic, and James will be back with us on Tuesday, November 2nd, same time, 11 a.m. Eastern, here on Close Up Radio. If you'd like to connect with James, our very special guest, you can go to the website JAM Consulting Group.com. Again, JAM Consulting Group.com. Much more to be shared, much more to learn on our continuation of our series here on Close Up Radio. We thank everybody for joining us. James, thank you for joining me as our special guest today as well for part one, and we look forward to the continuation next week.
Thank you, Jim, for the approach. I appreciate it.
And happy 25th anniversary, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Job well done. Again, folks, if you would like to connect, you can easily go to the website and connect with James and the team. They're doing great work that is life-changing and impactful in such a beautiful way. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio, we appreciate you being with us as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for watching and listening. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.